The Blast from Our Past Network.
最後の最後にそれ？
バカ、心配してやってんだろ。
分かったよ、心配してくれてありがとう。だから早く行って。
何怒ってんだよ。
行ってって。
じゃあな。
じゃあな。
Talking Back.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Talking Back. This is the podcast where we like to chat about past achievements in movies, comics, video games, and more. I'm your host, Tim, and this week on the show, a high school girl acquires the power to travel back in time and decides to use it for her own personal benefit. That's right. We're talking about the girl who leapt through time from 2006. Co-host Dean is around here somewhere.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Leaping in.
Hey.
If you had like got your hands on time travel, would you not use it for personal gain? You got to.
She behaved 100% appropriately.
Exactly.
And like really the personal gain wasn't even all that much. So this synopsis, eh.
Yeah, true. Eh. It was okay. Just like to make her life less awkward, basically.
Like
is
she
what
tried
it, was.
It out. She tried
yeah,
it out for
she
personal
tried it out.
Gain and
she
then
used
realized
it.
Maybe that wasn't the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's okay.
She comes around in the end.
Listen, she did a great job.
Hell yeah, she did a great job. This was a first watch for me. I know you mentioned you've watched this hundreds of times.
Well, like three or four, but yeah.
Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Nice.
The story and the art really sucked me in. It was very easy to become immersed in the world that they created with it. Like, yeah, it's animated.
Yep. Yeah,
but it didn't feel animated. Like it immersed me as a live action would.
Yeah, it's one of the things I love about this movie is the animation looks like real people. When they walk around, they look like people walk. The thing I love about it is like the sports. I love looking at them playing sports because they play sports like people actually do. It's like really hard to, I think, animate. I don't know. I'm not an animator, but animate like someone throwing a baseball that looks exactly like somebody would throw a baseball, or someone playing volleyball in the background that actually looks like they know how to play volleyball. That stuff really stood out to me. This has become a movie that I just throw on whenever I like want just like a chill watch. It's like a comfort watch now just because I love getting sucked into the world.
Yeah, no doubt. It's listed as a sci-fi romance. And if I had known that going in, I wouldn't have been like all too high on it.
You'd be like, how about sci-fi nomance?
yeah. I would have been 50-50.
Yeah.
Right down the middle on that one.
Yeah.
But no, it was totally fine. It actually really felt familiar to me because I recently played a game called A Space for the Unbound. Which I'm starting to suspect was heavily influenced by this movie.
Ah.
Because it follows a teenage boy and a teenage girl. It's also like partially set in a high school, very similar type of vibe. You don't travel through time in the game, but you can leap into other people's minds and you kind of live their thoughts and you try to help their negative thoughts. They have negative thoughts, and then you have to figure out what's like irking them, and then you have to go and try to fix it in the real world. Ton of fun, really cool game. I feel like it's more for like a teenage audience rather than me, someone who's in their 40s.
Yeah.
So at times I felt a little bit awkward playing it. I'm just like,
right.
Wait a second. I hope no one's watching because I don't know if I should be playing this game.
Right, okay.
But I had an awesome time with it. So if anybody out there likes this movie and likes video games, you might want to check that one out. A Space for the Unbound. It's an indie game. I had a great time with it.
That sounds great. I am going to play that because like in the least creepy way I can make this, I love stuff that centers around teenagers.
love the game then.
I would love it. Yeah, it's like I love movies that have that in it. I love music that is probably made for teenagers. I just like love that stuff. So I would love this game.
It's a rewarding play. I did my only beef with it is that I felt like it went on for a bit too long.
Okay.
But it countered that argument with all the stuff where it was going on for a bit too long was the coolest stuff in the game. But I just kept thinking like this has to be the end. And then it just kept going more and more and more, but it kept getting cooler and cooler. So it wasn't really that big of a problem.
Nice.
But I'm the type of guy, like I love my, we're going on a tangent here, everybody, but I love my Legend of Zeldas. I love pouring like 100 hours into a game, but I also like a nice tight, like 3-hour game or 5-hour game. Those are my two. That's kind of where I'm at. I want like 5 or I want 100
or 200 hours.
I don't want 20 or 25 unless it's really special. This one was probably around the 20, I think.
Oh, okay.
Maybe,
yeah, I guess.
Maybe
you.
I even
yeah.
put in the 25.
Yeah.
And I was expecting maybe a 10 or 15.
Yeah.
So I guess if I had known ahead of time, it would have been okay. But
No,
it was a great game. I think, you know, anytime you can support an indie developer, I'd say go for it. So it's got my approval. And it just like this movie, you know, that game actually digs into some deep themes. So
sounds good.
It's cool. Yeah. Now, what I noticed about this movie, Dean, is that it has elements from About Time and Predestination, two of the movies we've already covered in this time travel walkthrough.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I was thinking of both of those movies while I watched this one this time around.
Hey, for anybody who's new to the podcast, right now, if you're brand new right now.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. Thank you, Dean. And also, we're covering this movie because we're walking through time travel movies this year. First Monday of every month is a time travel movie. That's why we selected this one. Or it selected us, depending on what your relationship with time travel is.
Depending on what point in the timeline we're at right now.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, you know what else I noticed about this movie?
What's that?
There's some stellar run scenes in here, Dean. What did you think?
Oh my goodness. Dude. Tim runs into like, okay. Yes.
I had to bring this up because we haven't talked about this in a while, but this is amazing.
Yeah. So I'll keep it short. I got two things. Okay. Just like the runs. So I like spontaneous runs. I don't like a race. I don't like a set up race. I like a spontaneous thing. So that usually is being chased by someone. It's usually when you're like in a movie being chased, not this. It's spontaneously running because you want to go back into the past. And not only is it a run, it's an uncontrollable jump. And I just like the combination of the two. Fantastic. Love those scenes. Secondly, I love a scene where somebody's running and it's a profile of them and they fall behind the camera and then they catch up to the camera and surpass it. I fucking love that. So yeah, two thumbs up for the running in this movie.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up. That scene is so fucking awesome where she's running at the end. And she's like, well, whatever, small spoilers. She's like running. She's essentially running for love, right? She's like, she's running as fast as she can to get to someone that she loves. And the way that they conveyed her emotion in that scene was bananas. It's just the camera pointing at the side of her head as she's running. And yeah, she's running and breathing really hard and going as hard as she can. And you can tell. And then she starts to fall back. Like the camera is still positioned in the middle, but she's falling a little bit back. And then she turns it on and just like catches up to the camera. And then, as you said, surpasses it in this just purely incredible like display of heart and emotion and running acumen. It was incredible.
A great way to show that you are putting in an extra effort to run. Because you've fallen behind the camera already, so we know the camera's going at a steady pace, and then you catch up and surpass. That's just digging deep. Love it.
It's incredible. They had some just amazing shots in this movie. That was one of them. My favorite shot is just, it's just weird. It doesn't even, like, you would think it's just a throwaway, but it's when our main character there, Makoto, she's on the back of a bike. Someone else is Chalky. Chalky's riding his bike. She's on the back of it, and she's got her head tilted all the way back, looking up at the sky. Yeah. And he hits her with a comment that really kind of stops her in her tracks. And you just watch her head just sit up, like going from looking at the sky to slowly sitting up and looking at the back of his head. I cannot explain why this was so amazing, but it was just animated so perfectly. I felt so much emotion. I knew exactly what that character was feeling by the way she moved her head. By the way they animated her head, I could read her emotions. It was amazing.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I had the exact same feelings, exact same thoughts. I was like, wait, why do I love it so much? Just because she's moving her head from back to up. Great.
Well, before we jump into the story here, this was directed by Mamoru Hosoda. This is sort of like most of the people who worked on this movie. They haven't, like, all done a lot of things. They've all done, like, less than 10 things. And nothing, like, too popular that I noticed. But this director won an Academy Award for the movie Mirai.
Yeah, I know this director's, like, got good movies that people like, but I haven't seen that one.
It was based on a science fiction novel from 1965.
Okay, cool.
By Yasutaka Tsutsui. I always like when things are based on things from, like, the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, totally.
It's interesting to get, like, their perspective on, like, sci-fi and romance in this instance.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you love The Twilight Zone. Because it's like, what were their ideas back then about science fiction? It's very cool.
Well, even with Predestination, I know you weren't too big of a fan of that, but some really wild ideas for back. I think that one was even in the 40s or 50s or something.
Yeah.
But like way, way back there.
Yeah.
I do want to call out to the music because it was so beautiful, man. It was so heartfelt. It was heartbreaking. I like started listening to it after the movie. I searched it out on YouTube. It's just like, it's all like beautiful piano pieces, but it really accentuated what was going on in the movie. And it was hitting over and over again at all these important scenes. It seemed like any time they needed to convey a bit of emotion in a scene, they had this music playing, and it just worked out really, really well. So I very much enjoyed that. The music was by Kiyoshi Yoshida. Again, hasn't done very much, but I would easily consider picking up a physical copy of this soundtrack. I loved it.
Yeah, just another amazing way to create the atmosphere. And it's got a really, I mean, I love when I watch these anime movies that have like pop songs in them. And it's got a like this kind of pop song at the end where they actually, I mean, I watched a dub version, but like for the pop song, they're putting the subs of the lyrics on the screen. And it's like kind of right at the end. And it's just, I love that. I love that we get to like we get to like hear the song, but then read what the words are and like connect that to the scene as well. So I really like the use of the song at the end.
Okay. So I watched the subbed version. Have you ever seen the subbed version?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I've seen, I think I watched sub every other time. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the dub this time. See if I kind of notice anything different.
Yeah. Did you notice anything?
Not really. Nothing really like stood out where I was like, that in my head was kind of different.
Right.
So maybe like here and there, I interpreted something slightly differently, maybe like an emotion or something because of the way the subs play off versus the dubs, but nothing that like I could actually pinpoint and be like, oh, that was different.
Yeah, I watched it on Crunchyroll. And I did have a bit of a problem, though, because the subtitles were off. They were coming through about maybe 3 seconds too early. So sometimes I had trouble understanding what character was saying what. And it didn't make for a huge deal, but I definitely think I missed some stuff because of that. And it, I don't know. Like it wasn't my computer or anything like that because I watched it a couple times and it was the exact same each time. So it's weird. I don't know why they wouldn't fix that.
Yeah, that is weird.
Now, character wise in the movie, it basically revolves around three friends. You have Makoto and her two friends, Chaki and Kosuke. So there's like several supporting characters, but that's your main group right there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It's definitely, I mean, it's, I think it's kind of fun when some of the other supporting characters pop in. They're all great, but it's definitely the story centered around these three.
Mm-hmm. So the way the movie starts is it introduces us to Makoto. It sets her up as a pretty normal teenager. You know, we get to see like her home life a bit. We see some school life. We see after science class one day, she goes into the storage room where she sees a walnut looking thing. Like it looks like a walnut, but it seems to be glowing red.
Yeah.
She slips on the ground. She falls and she hits the walnut with her elbow. And then she's transported back through time to earlier in the day when she was playing baseball with her friends. Now, the way they convey time travel was quite interesting. I'm always curious how they're going to do it, what they're going to show you. Some of the movies we've covered so far, actually, most of them don't show you anything at all. They just kind of gloss over the fact that you're traveling through time and they get more to the point of you're kind of just there. This one.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
This movie really took you through the process of traveling through time. And it was quite interesting because first Makoto was underwater. And then that was like a very peaceful time. And then all of a sudden there was just a stampede of horses running at her. And then there were a bunch of people screaming. Then they were going through like the wires and the circuitry of a computer. And then she fell from the sky and landed in the baseball field. So I liked this early setup. I liked that they got to the time travel pretty quick. I like that it's just a walnut. Like we have no idea what's going on, but time travel is happening here. So I thought it was a really fun way to set up the rest of the movie.
Yep, I agree. I really love watching her kind of fall in because she falls on the walnut and then just kind of like keeps falling. She's falling through all these things that you said. I love seeing what's going on to the character while they're experiencing traveling through time. And it's going to happen, you know, throughout the movie and it changes a bit. And I like that it changes a bit because I think it shows a little bit of her control over what's going on. And I really liked this first setup where she has no idea what's happening. And it's just kind of some random stuff that goes on. Very good stuff.
Yeah, I do agree with that because as she gets better with the time travel, all we see is the last part of her. Actually, we see a part we've never seen before. I think on her second jump, we start to see gears of a clock. And then that's all we see for the rest of the time is just the gears on the clock, I think, representing that she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Now, in a really early twist in the movie here, our lead character, Makoto, is killed.
Yeah.
I was like, is this really going to happen?
Yeah, right.
as it was happening in slow motion, I was like, is this going to happen? And hell yeah, it did happen. But what happens is we kind of see her doing her daily routine again. Like the movie's already shown us it. It set it up so we know like what her daily routine is about. We see her doing it again because she jumped back in time. We've already seen her ride her bike down this big hill where she has trouble stopping at the end and is just about hit by a train. But this time her brakes aren't working and she smashes into the gate, over the gate, and is hit and killed by the train. So, already having the time travel in place, I you know, pretty much I didn't feel bad for her. I understood what's going on here. She's going to travel back in time somehow, but it was still a bit of a shocker.
Yeah, and this, I think this movie's pretty good at getting you to feel emotions for the characters and the situations. And what a way to make you feel, even though you know she's got a hold of time travel now and she's probably going to be okay, a way to make you feel so emotional, having her just launched off her bike. Like, as she's slow motion flying through the air and the train is coming, you're also just, like, waiting for her to do something, like, for it to rewind, for it to stop, for, like, somehow it doesn't actually happen, and then it does. You know, the train actually does hit her, but then, you know, she's able to, you know, be okay after that, but that's just, like, wild that it's so slow and it can, like, get this emotion out of me. I'm feeling so bad at this point, even though I know she's got it. I know she has the time travel thing. She'll be fine.
Yeah, and what really gets me, and that the movie is excellent with, is character development. And as she's flying through the air off her bike, like, head facing towards the ground, doing a flip, she knows she's going to get hit by the train, and she has this inner monologue of, I wish I knew I was going to die today.
Yeah.
Because if I knew I was going to die today, and then she lists all these things she would have done differently. She's like, I would have slept in. I would have, like, I would have done this. I would have done that. And it's such a great, like, last second of thought before you're going to be killed. You know, it's that scenario where, like, you can almost like see an accident happening. That 1 second feels like so long, right? Like,
yeah.
Time almost slows down in those, like, really dangerous and wild moments.
Yeah.
And she was having one, and she was able to get all these sentences out about what she would do differently as she's just slowly floating through the air. I thought it was really well done.
And it really works, because she, when she was explaining her day, she was saying, like, oh, you know, I'm pretty good at school. I'm a decent student. And then she does really bad on a test. She's like, oh, I'm, you know, I usually don't, you know, get into too much, get myself into too much weird situations. And then she gets, like, a guy thrown into her, you know, like, every time she was setting something up, the opposite would happen. So it was one of those days, you know, she's having one of those days. So when she's flying through the air and she's like, why did it have to be today? Like, I just had one of those days. I would have done all these other things differently. It just, yeah, it was really effective.
Yep. So she comes to and realizes that she's gone back about 30 seconds in time. She freaks out and she goes to see her aunt, who works at a museum. And her aunt tells her she experienced a time leap. She leapt back in time, and that it's pretty normal for girls her age. I liked this a lot. Just the fact that they're normalizing time travel in this world. And it's only normalized through this character, but it's normalized nonetheless. And I just thought it was so very interesting. Now, you never really know if the aunt is humoring her or truly believes what she's telling her, which is another thing I like. But I thought it was very interesting, just this dynamic. I like to think that it has happened to the aunt as well, and the aunt knows all about it.
I like to think that too. I went into this viewing because I know I don't understand the aunt. You know I'm up in the air about the aunt because I've seen it before many times. I know that I'm not quite clear at what I think she knows. So I really focused on that this time of, like, okay, what do I think? What do I think the aunt knows? I do think that she knows it's happened to her before. Something similar has happened. I think when she tells a story about a guy, she's talking about a guy where a similar thing happened. But she does always, like, she kind of teases her along at the same time where she's like, yeah, I get it. You're traveling through time. She'll tease her a bit about it. So you never know. You never know if it's like, yeah, is she just doing this, humoring her? Does she know? I'm with you, Tim. I like to think that she knows.
Yeah. So Makoto starts trying to recreate this time leap by literally leaping through the air, similar to how she flew through the air on her bike, and she's able to recreate it. Question here, since we're here now, what's with the leaping? Why do you think her leaping through the air facilitates traveling back through time? I have no thoughts on it, but you've seen it more often. What are your thoughts?
So my only thoughts are, number one, I love it because it's called The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, and she has to actually jump. She has to actually leap through time. So I just like that idea, that like just on a simple level, that she has to jump because you're time jumping or you're time leaping, and that's what you actually have to do. Secondly, I think of it like the DeLorean. You got to get it up to 88 miles per hour. I think it's like she like tries to get more speed if she wants to go further in the past. She's like, okay, I really got to get far in the past. She'll build up a big runway to try to do it and try to go even faster. So it just like, I kind of connected the two that way where, you know, you get up to the speed you're supposed to get and then you jump, and that's how you make it work. But no other further thoughts really of like technically how it works.
Yeah, there's a lot of technical stuff that goes unanswered in this movie. I'd say there's several things just in general that this movie decides not to explain to you, which you could call a hole, like a plot hole. But in my opinion, you'd have to be an idiot to call it that.
Oh, yeah.
Because time travel movies just get a complete pass, in my opinion, for plot holes. Because why are you trying to understand a time travel movie? Why are you trying to understand like the physics and the mechanics that go on in this world? We're already dealing with time travel. So I see these things in time travel movies and I immediately let them go.
Yeah.
And I try not to focus on any of that bullshit. But then you have people online who are just like, well, this movie didn't make any sense because they didn't explain this, they didn't explain that. Well, guess what? You can't even explain time travel. So
yeah,
fuck off.
It's not a thing that like actually exists. So you let it happen. But also I will say the karaoke scene, I think, says a lot. I think the karaoke scene is there to teach us how it works, really. And I think I get a lot out of that scene of how it's actually working.
Yeah, sure. I think I'm going to mention that very shortly. So I'll let you elaborate a bit more on that. But yeah, just getting back to like why she leaps. So she'll leap and travel through time. I never actually put like what you said together, that they do show us that the faster she's moving and leaping, the farther she goes back in time. That didn't click for me until just now. So that's very cool. So I like why they're doing it and how it works within the movie. I think it's all very intelligent because, yes, it's fun that all she has to do is jump. It's cool that the faster she goes, the bigger her jump, the further back she goes. And then the other thing that comes into play is what goes up must come down. So every time she leaps, then she travels through time, and she has a tremendous crash when she exits on the other side. And it's a very, very funny thing in the movie. She's always like smashing back into time really hard.
Yeah.
She's hitting her head on like poles. She's slamming into desks. Papers are going flying. It looks very, very painful.
Yeah.
And it's a very funny thing that I was always looking forward to. Anytime she jumped, I'm like, here comes the big bail.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for it.
I never got tired once of seeing her bail out. Every time I was so excited to see her roll and what she was going to roll into and crash.
They did such a good job of the animating on it. They made it feel so painful. And she's like, every time it's just like, she smashes into something and you can like, she physically gets hurt by it. It's so rough.
Yeah. She hits like a broom closet at one point and just all the brooms fall on her. It's just excellent.
Yeah. It's really, really good. So yeah. I do think this is an absolutely fantastic name for a movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like say it's an all time great or anything like that, but I think it's a really, really smart, really, really cool a name. And like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, I want to see what this movie's about. Like, this is something I want to see. So yeah, it's a good, it's good how they blended the name into the movie and the things they did with the name in the movie. I'll shut up about it. That's too much. You say something now, Dean.
Well, if you go...
Not about the name of the movie.
Oh, I had something about the name of the movie.
Okay, go ahead then.
If you go into the movie not knowing that that's how time travel works and you just hear the name, like I did, I didn't know, you know, I just watched the movie hearing the name. It's the first time she actually jumps to make time travel work. You're like, ah, I get you, movie. I'm in on the joke. Like, it just feels good. It feels cool.
Oh, okay. I mean, I thought it was pretty obvious. Like when it's titled The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. I legitimately thought she just jumped through time.
I had no idea that she had to actually jump.
The poster is her like floating through the air in a jump.
I realize that, but I like never thought that for a second. Yeah. I never thought she actually jumps to make time travel work.
Nice, nice.
So I loved it.
So Makoto realizes that she can control this now. She's got a handle on it. And she starts doing some things that make her life easier.
Great.
Right? This is what we're talking about off the top.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't do this?
Exactly.
She writes a test at school again. She's already written it. The first time she got 9%. This time she gets 100%.
Wow. Good upgrade.
She switches places with a kid in science class so that she doesn't goof up and cause a fire. He causes it instead. She goes to karaoke with her friends. And right when their time runs out, she keeps going back in time so they can do the hour again. So I'll pause here so you can say what you want about that karaoke.
Okay, so up to this point, if you are thinking about what's going on with the time travel, you're like, okay, but like she's going to her own past and doing be in places that she was in the past. So how does that work? And so I think this karaoke scene kind of answers it, where they're all there, they're doing karaoke. She's not ready to be done with the time. And what we see is her come crashing through the door, like doing her roll, crashing through the door because she's gone back in time. And one of the boys just says like, oh, what are you doing? Like, why did you roll like that? Weren't you just over here? So saying like, weren't you just over here tells us that she was there, you know, in the past. And then when as soon as she crashes back into time, she kind of takes over that body. Like that body's gone. Like the one that was sitting there is now gone because she's in the timeline. So there's only ever going to be one of her wherever she is. And so I think that kind of shows you. And then it does the scene over and over and over again because she never wants to be done. And the boys are always doing the same thing. They never change. They're always like ordering the same thing. They're singing the same song. So I think that also shows you that like everyone else's life at that point like is the same. It's just her going back to that point and they're going to be the same. But she might, you know, she might change their trajectory from what she does in that moment.
Yeah. Interesting. This scene at first didn't make a lot of sense to me because I hadn't put together what you already mentioned about if she just jumps a soft leap, we'll go back a shorter amount of time.
Yeah.
So I wondered if she, I thought when she jumps back in time, she always starts at the beginning of the day, which is not true. So now it makes more sense that she would just do a small leap and go back like an hour
yeah.
and relive that hour again.
Yeah.
I agree that she, like, when she does the jump, if it's like in the same place, the one body will disappear and the other one will appear, because they do mention that a couple times in the movie subtly.
Yeah.
Where like someone will say like she just disappeared for a second or something. Yeah. I guess in this scene, like you're saying, like the boys are doing the same thing. I think it's because no one's interacting with anybody, but we'll get to it in a little bit. And it's one of the things that I feel is very interesting in this movie and a very interesting time travel concept. It's that if you want things to play out exactly the same, you must do things exactly the same. You must say the exact same words. You must have the exact same actions, or else things are going to go differently. So if you say hello to someone instead of saying like what's up, those two conversations could fork in different directions because you're not doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I think they were just focused on the karaoke, right?
Yeah, I think it was just
attention to her.
Exactly. It was just like, I think it was just showing that like she wanted to keep doing that again and again and again. So she wasn't going to change it. You know, she wasn't going to change what was happening there. And when she didn't interact differently, they also didn't.
Yeah. I really liked this part.
Yeah.
This one just really hit me, just that she's found this hour of time that she loves so much, just doing this karaoke with her friends, that she just keeps doing it over and over again. This was a really nice moment for me. And she goes home after this and she's completely exhausted. And her mom's like, what's wrong with you? Like, she can barely walk. Like,
yeah,
because she's just been doing it hours of karaoke over and over again. And she's like, oh, I just did karaoke. That's all. And her mom's like, why are you so tired from that? You know.
She's like, how long did you do karaoke? And she's like, 10 hours. And she's like, stop exaggerating. It's so funny because, like, yeah, you know, you exaggerate that type of thing. Oh, I feel like I did karaoke for 10 hours, but she actually did.
Yeah, that's awesome. I liked it. So back to some of the things she's doing to, you know, play around with time travel here. They're playing baseball. She's hitting every pitch her friend throws because she's already seen them all.
Yeah.
Very fun. Her mom cooks food that she doesn't want. So she leaps and dinner is different. Yeah, then she visits her aunt again. And her aunt asks her something interesting, which is, does she think anyone might be suffering from her good fortune?
Right, yeah.
So she kind of drops that nugget there. My mind wasn't going there. I was just like, let's do fun things with time travel.
Right, yeah.
Right? And then the aunt is like the grounded character in the movie. She's like the you know, whenever Makoto has questions or is confused about something, goes to the aunt, and the aunt kind of like brings her back to Earth.
Yeah.
Very good character, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and does she, in the subs, I can't remember, does she call her like Aunt Witch at any point?
Yeah, that's what she calls her, Aunt Witch,
all the time. Okay. I couldn't remember if she did that in the subs or if that was just in the dubs. So, yeah. It also calling her Aunt Witch, it's just like that kind of plays into her knowing what's going on here with this stuff.
Yeah. So, getting back into sort of like what I was just mentioning about that interesting time travel concept. Chalky, here in the movie, he asks Makoto out.
Right.
They've been friends. He's trying to, like, change that scenario. And she's caught off guard. This is the head looking at the clouds.
Yes.
And then coming back forward. That's when this takes place. But she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't like the way that she reacts to the whole situation. So she leaps to do it over again. And what ends up happening is that conversation never goes exactly the same way again. She wants the exact same interaction so she can respond the way that she wants to respond. And they repeat it a bunch of times, and it's always some weird, different tangent. And it gets to the point where she gives up on it. Like, her last leap to redo it, she basically avoids the conversation altogether because she can't make it happen the way that it once happened. So I thought that's really interesting. This is very different than what we've come to know from the movie Groundhog Day, where Bill Murray's character seems to be going through the day and everybody seems to be interacting with him in the exact same manner. And no matter what he does with those interactions, everything sort of seems to be the same. I know, like, as the movie goes on, it'll change with Andy McDowell's character. But everybody's doing the same thing. His conversations don't seem to do too much. But this movie kind of throws a wrench in that idea. And, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it, too. I have something to say about it also when we get a little further on. Because this type of thing made me think, like, there's it's chaos in the small moments, but also maybe time has like big moments that always have to happen. And this movie made me have that, at least that kind of thought where, you know, everything can be kind of chaotic and different, but there's big events that have to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. There's this line written on a chalkboard that people keep reading and saying over again. And it's supposed to be like a theme in the movie. And the line is, time waits for no one. So I think time has an agenda, and certain things are going to happen the way they're going to happen. So
I
agree with that. Now, Makoto goes back to Aunt Witch and tells her about this interaction with Chalky. And I love the aunt's reaction here. She feels sorry for Chalky because he worked up the courage to ask her out, but now he'll never know he did it.
Right.
I think that's such a funny and smart line.
Yeah, so good. Yeah.
The guy Makoto switched places with in science class, who ends up starting the fire, is getting bullied for it.
Yeah.
Perfect example of like what she has done to change things for the better for her is now negatively affecting other people.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool that she switched with someone in science class and the same thing happened. I was like, oh, okay, like it was something wrong with the element or whatever was going on, because the exact same thing happened. It wasn't her fault. I thought that was cool, but then I never thought like, oh, what happens to that kid now because it happened to, you know, because it happened to him instead.
Well, that's like what you were just saying, like the time has an agenda, right? Like no matter who's in the position at that lab in science class, that fire is going to start. Someone's going to bump something. Yeah. Something's going to go, that thing is going to go wrong, and it doesn't matter who's doing it.
Yeah.
Now that kid wants to get back at the bullies. So he hits them with a fire extinguisher. Like he's hosing them down. Then he ends up throwing the fire extinguisher at Makoto. Chalky gets in front of it and is about to be hit, but Makoto does a time leap so that she can be ready to push him out of the way so he doesn't get hit. She does that. The fire extinguisher goes flying past them and hits a different girl. So she's very happy that she helped out and Chalky's safe, right? And she's safe. And then she looks over and sees this girl lying injured on the ground and like feels bad about it. Realizes like maybe I didn't do the right thing there.
Yeah. And this is a girl that like we kind of know too, because she's Makoto's friend and also likes Chalky. And so it's, you know, she's like had a role in the movie as well. So you also feel a little, you know, you feel extra bad because you know who she is.
Yes. And it also sort of shifted the relationship of Chalky liking Makoto to Chalky liking this other girl.
You know? Right. Yes. Because totally. Yeah.
When Makoto ends up ignoring that whole conversation where he asks her out, he doesn't get the chance to do that. So he sort of loses his interest in her. And then when this girl gets hit, he goes over to help her out. And then his whole trajectory is he's now interested in that girl and not Makoto anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Makoto has been noticing a weird number appearing on her arm. And it's been decreasing as well. Then we get this really, really weird twist that I was totally on board with. It's that Chalky asks Makoto if she's been time leaping. That didn't make much sense to me.
Right.
How does he know about time leaps? So
it can't, like, and the way the scene plays out, it's so great because she's just talking casually on the phone with him, and then he's been like in different times he's been asking her if they want to go out, right? They had that scene on the bike, if they want to go out, and he's like, hey, I have to ask you something. So we just think, oh, he's going to ask if they want to go out, and she doesn't want this conversation. We're like, oh, the tension. And he's like, hey, have you been time leaping? And then like everything goes quiet. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So she does a time leap to avoid his question. And she,
obviously,
she notices the number on her arm is now at 0.
Hmm.
So she thinks that she is out of time leaps, which is true.
Yeah.
Now, earlier in the movie, Makoto was leaping to set her friend Kusuke up with a girl. And after several attempts, she made it happen. Then we catch up kind of to the normal timeline in the movie. And she sees them riding past her on her bike. But Makoto knows that her brakes are not working, because she previously that day died by getting hit by a train. And now they're going down the same hill on her bike, and they can't stop, and they both end up getting hit by the train.
Yeah. Can I just set this up a slightly differently?
For sure.
Just because he texted her that he was going to be using her bike. And so she read the text and ran straight to the train and asked everyone there, was there an accident? And everyone said no. And so she thought she was in the clear, and then she used the jump on the phone call, and then she saw them ride by. So she was actually just early, you know, like she had just run straight there and she was early. They hadn't actually been there yet.
In her distress from seeing like one of her best friends killed, she seems to freeze time. This was a really great part in the movie. Visually stunning, as all the characters are frozen. But the camera is still making its way through various different scenes, showing us that everything is frozen.
Yeah.
Dude, this looked incredible.
Great.
while everything is frozen in time, Chalky shows up and he tells her he can also time leap. Haha. That's how he knew about time leaps. He can do it.
Yep.
Not only that, though, but he's from the future.
Yes.
Very cool. Chalky tells her in his time, a device is developed that allows people to travel through time whenever they want. He shows her the device, which is the walnut.
Yeah.
And tells her she's used up all of its energy.
Yeah. How many times did she use it on just hitting the baseball? Like, how many times did she just hit a home run by just knowing the next pitch?
Well, 10 times on karaoke alone.
At least. Yeah. Oh, yeah. On karaoke 10. And so many other frivolous uses.
Yes. Now, Chalky obviously likes Mikado very much. We already know that. So he uses his last leap to fix the brake on her bike so that Kusuke and the girl won't be killed, because when they were killed, he saw the pain in her eyes and how she blamed herself for it. So he went back and reverted that so that it wouldn't happen and she wouldn't blame herself. So,
yeah,
that's cool. And then Chalky is gone. He goes away. So this is sort of the only thing I don't understand. And
okay.
I think the movie doesn't really want us to understand, because I don't think they try to explain it. But he disappears. I assume he goes back to his time period, but we don't know how.
I don't think so. So I'll just tell you what I think is happens here. So he was saving up one jump so that he could go back to his time period, but he didn't want to because he liked the friend group that he made. And so he kind of just wanted to stick around and he didn't jump back. So, but he was saving that one. He used that one. He used the last one to save Kusuke. And so now he was down to zero. What he tells Makoto is that he's not allowed to share with anybody that time travel exists. And so because he told her, because he talked to her about it, and because she like found the walnut, he is no longer allowed to be in contact with her. It's just like the rules of time travel. So he just has to go away from her. He can't go back to his own time because he lost his jump. So I think he just like physically can't be around her. He's not supposed to, because that's the rules. You're not allowed to tell anyone. And so he has to leave.
Okay. That is completely possible, because the movie doesn't tell us. I was leaning a bit of a different way. I was leaning towards he broke the rules of time travel and therefore was somehow like withdrawn from that time period.
Okay. That would make sense with like the dialogue as well. I didn't think of it that way, but that makes sense with the dialogue that happened.
Or that there's a separate device. The leaping is one thing, but actually traveling to the future,
right,
the walnut wouldn't do that. That's not what the walnut does. The walnut allows that's you true. To leap yeah. back through the day. So he possibly had a time travel device that just still allowed him to go forward in time, but his ability to leap back in time was taken away when the walnut was gone.
Okay, yeah.
But the movie doesn't tell us, right? So we're just left to figure it out.
No, he just says he has to go away.
I feel like he wouldn't go away just on his own. Because of how much he loved, like the whole reason that, so basically the reason he's there is like 3 months earlier, he traveled back in time to look at a painting and then he fell in love with the summer and met Kusuke and met Makoto and became friends with them and couldn't leave because he loved it so much. He was having so much fun and he planned on staying longer. But then, you know, when he that he's a time traveler, some sort of rule forced him to leave. So I really think he physically somehow left.
I think the authorities came and got him. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme, the time cop, came and picked him up and took him back to his own time.
You tied in time cop. I thought there was no way time cop was going to get tied in. We've got about 10 minutes to tie in Planet of the Apes here as well.
Okay. Ooh, that's going to be a tough one.
This did lead to a question for me, though. So Chalky has traveled back through time to this time period. Where's he living? How does he have money? How's he, what, is going on there? Another thing they don't get
not
into.
Sure.
But
yeah.
Hey, if predestination taught us anything, it's that you plan for your travel back into time. So that kind of
100%, yeah.
It actually kind of like worked it out for me. I'm like, he probably planned ahead of time to go back into time and then had everything set up, had like an apartment set up and all that stuff. And it's all good.
One of my favorite parts is that he just traveled back in time to look at a painting. Like
pretty
he's
cool.
just a sad future boy who just wanted to come back and look at something because it's destroyed. The actual physical painting is destroyed in the future and he needed to look at it. He wanted to look at it so much. I love that idea. I think it's great.
Yep, pretty cool, man. Hey, that picture doesn't exist in the future because the apes have taken it and are holding it in a cave.
You did it, Tim. I can't believe it.
It's human propaganda.
Airtight.
Human propaganda. Airtight connection. The apes will not let you look at it. That's why it can't be found.
Wow, you did it.
Does this have to be our new thing where we tie every single time travel movie we cover into the newest one we do?
It doesn't
please say
have
no.
to be.
Please say no.
But I hope it is.
I hope it's not. That sounds like a nightmare.
If only for more ape moments like that.
Okay. Maybe we'll just see if we can tie Planet apes. Of the Apes into every movie.
Great.
Oh, yes. Now, Chalky's gone. Makoto is very upset because she's now realizing how much she likes him, you know, once he's gone. Yeah. Classic trope. She was very much looking forward to spending the summer with him. I really liked this for her character arc, going from avoiding the conversation altogether, where he asks her out, to desperately wanting things to be back the way they were. I mean, this is really like a slice of life movie. I've seen movies like this where, and kind of had like experiences myself where you're like, do something during the summer and like, the summertime when you're a kid, when you're a teenager, is a completely different world than the rest of the year.
Yeah.
When you go
it's
on
magical.
Vacation, when you go to the beach, if you do that, both things we were lucky enough to do as kids, they become your world for that small amount of time. And I remember having like crushes at the beach for a couple weeks, and you knew you had that finite amount of time. And once your 2 weeks are up, you're probably never going to see that person again. And it like, it's kind of crushing, but also special at the same time. And that's what this reminded me of. Like there's another movie. This is a pretty deep cut, but it's called The Inkwell. I don't know if anybody will have seen it. Jada Pinkett Smith is in it, but it's kind of like this summer. It's got a teenager in it and he's kind of like, crushes on her and she's a lot older. This movie also reminded me quite a bit of that, but just this kind of like moment in time summer where you kind of love the moment and you love the time you're having, but you know that when it ends, that's it. You're never going to have this time again in your life. This is just a time and a place. And I thought this movie did a really good job of conveying the time and the place and maybe that romantic, you know, interaction that you might have with somebody. Really well done. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, same. It like the movie really focuses on Makoto. She's changing so many little things to like make her days better, but she doesn't actually want anything to change with her relationship with her two friends. She wants that to remain the same. And so just like Chalky saying, I like you, we should go out, is changing that dynamic. It's changing the dynamic of the three, and that's what she's initially afraid of until, you know, he gets interested in another girl, and then she's like, well, wait, maybe I would like to be that girl instead. I think it's a great arc for her of wanting to avoid the question to end up, like, desperately wanting the question. It's a great arc for her.
Yeah, that ties back into the big, time has an agenda of its own.
Yeah.
Because it's like that helpless feeling, like, you know, this is going to come to an end no matter what you do, no matter what you try to do to prevent it.
Yeah.
This is time's agenda and you only have so much of it. So, that's good. Makoto, though, she realizes the number on her arm says 1 again. And this is because when Chalky made his last leap to save Kisuke, that happened before Makoto leapt. So she still has her one leap left. Does that make sense?
I don't know if it happened. It didn't happen before she leapt. He leapt back to a time before she leapt, if that makes sense.
Yes, I want to make sure that this one makes sense, because this is sort of like a melty moment, a melty brain moment.
Right. Yes.
Her last leap never happened, essentially, because previous to her leaping to save Kisuke, Chalky leapt to save Kisuke. So Kisuke was alive at the time Makoto would have leapt. So she didn't need to use her leap.
So I think it's... Okay, yeah. I want to get this right, because I think it's slightly different. I think she leapt on the phone talking to Chalky. That was her last leap. Then she saw Kisuke riding down on the bike. She saw him hit and fly off into the train. Then everything stopped, because I think at that point is when Chalky leapt, and he leapt back before their phone call, which is why she still had one. But I think he did actually leap after Kisuke hit the train.
No, 100%.
Because she saw that happen.
No, 100%. Yeah. Because the reason...
Then we're on the same page.
Yeah, the reason he leapt was because he saw how broken she was and
exactly.
blaming herself
exactly.
for it. So, yeah. He made his leap after Kisuke was
yes.
hit, but he leapt to a period in time before she had made her leap to save Kisuke, therefore leaving her with that one because it didn't actually end up happening.
Yes. This is...
Does it make sense?
The brain melty moment of the time travel podcast, but I think we got it.
I honestly feel like this is the least melty moment
we
we've
finally
had so
got
far.
It.
I just feel like there's just slight oozing happening. Like, I don't... This
just
is no,
slight, yeah.
Nowhere but, near a full melt. This is just a small... Like, the small amount of melt at the very, very top of the... Like, the brainberg.
I'm just picturing the listeners who haven't seen the movie and their mind just starting to melt, coming out of the earbuds. But we got it. Trust us. We did it.
The tough one to follow. Hey, if you haven't seen this movie and you're still hanging in there with this podcast... We love you.
Thanks.
You are so special.
We love you.
You're special people. Pat yourself on the back. Have a great day. So now realizing she has one leap left, she uses it to go back to the moment where she fell on the walnut at the beginning, which is very early in the day, which is before Chalky made his leap to fix the bike. So everything we just said about Chalky's leap, she has done the same thing. She has gone back
exactly.
before he did what he did. So he now has an extra jump.
Yep.
Now with no jumps left and having jumped back to the beginning of the day, I liked this. Makoto having already set up Kisuke with a girl, she has to do that again. But it took her a bunch of leaps before to do it. And this time she just has one shot at doing it, but she's able to do it. She's able to set them up and be very, very firm about them not being allowed to use her bike. I thought that was awesome.
Yes, exactly.
She's like,
so good.
If you use my bike, I can't remember exactly, but it's something like, if you use my bike, you owe me $5,000.
Yeah, to rent it, it's $5,000.
Yeah, if you use it, you're renting it and it's $5,000. And the guy's like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Also, I like the way that she got Kisuke to ask, like, to basically initiate that thing with the girls, because the whole thing in the movie with the three of them, if anyone gets a girlfriend or anyone gets a boyfriend and doesn't spend time with the three anymore, they can't play baseball, because you can't play baseball with two. It's just catch. So she gets him to go over. She knows Chalky might be leaving them. So she gets him to go over and ask the three girls if they want to play baseball. Now they got a ton of people. Now they got five people to play baseball.
Amazing.
Great.
Makoto takes the walnut to Chalky. She tells him everything that's gone on. She says she knows about the walnut. She knows about him time traveling. She knows about the time leaps because he told her. And this whole ending sequence was very, very long. You probably get about 30 minutes of ending sequence.
Yeah.
They did a good job with it. You kind of need this to get the gut wrench at the end. They need to build up how the two care about each other, which they haven't really had a chance to build up yet. This is where they now can build up that the two really care about each other. And they do that. There's some touching moments, like some very touching moments. Makoto sort of got to say goodbye one time to Chalky before she realized that she had a jump left and that she could then jump to visit him again and like basically give him his jump back. So she gets a second chance at saying goodbye, which I thought was really sweet. And they're sort of still like standoffish with each other until Chalky decides to leave again. And they're kind of just like at odds with each other and yelling at each other. And she just breaks down sobbing once he goes for that last time and leaves.
Yeah.
I don't think she thought he was going to leave. I think she thought like it would just be a happy ending. And, you know, he kind of walks off. She turns her back. She looks back to see if he's there and she can't see him. And man, more great animation of this poor girl sobbing her brains out.
Totally, yeah.
The crying was super annoying. I actually, every time she cried, which is maybe like two times in the movie, I had to turn my volume way down. Like it was just very, very uncomfortable fake crying. But the animation was just, it was truly beautiful. And then that's when Chalky like comes back and they have this one final moment where he hugs her and says that he'll be waiting for her. And I think she says something like, she'll come running.
She says, yeah, I'll come running.
And
then
that's like pretty much the end of the movie. But a very, very powerful ending. I'm teared up both times I watched it at that exact moment. That movie just leads you so hard into that final moment where it's just a hug. The two of them hug. That's it. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's so powerful. It's really amazing that the movie could pull that off.
It's so good. They don't say, I love you. They don't kiss. They just hug. That's it. And he says, I'll be waiting for you. She says, I'll come running. And it's beautiful. Like, that's just what both of them want. She says she'll try to preserve that painting for him. You know, so look for it. That's awesome. There's like, it really early on in the movie, she has to decide between like arts and science. And she's not sure. She's unsure. They're in high school and they're trying to decide like what to do in college. And she's unsure. And she's like, okay, after this, she's like, I've picked my path. Right. I know what I'm going to take. She doesn't say what it is, but it's going to be something that directs us to, you know, her preserving that painting for him. And that's just awesome.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Because he still never got to see it.
True, yeah,
he
that's
actually
true.
Never saw it. He never got to look at it. So she's like, I'm going to preserve this for you. So like, the, even that is like super touching.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else? Anything we missed you wanted to mention?
Just quickly, as just random thing, I did mention the animation of the volleyball. I played like a lot of baseball and volleyball back in the day. And like in the background, they have a volleyball scene, I think twice, maybe three times. When they show an actual game, the team is running like a legitimate play. Like I'm watching it and I'm like, that's an actual play that we would run.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you put in the time and effort to make the volleyball not only look like they know what they're doing, but also they're like, I know what that play is called. Like I've done that many, many hundreds of times. Like that's so wild.
Nice. I
love it.
Do not remember seeing volleyball even one time in this movie.
It's in the background, I think, three times.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Everyone's great at it in the background.
Yeah. So that is going to lead into our rankings. We are ranking all of the time travel movies this year. And Dean, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay, so bottom to top. At the very bottom, number five, I have Time Cop. Then I have, at four, Planet of the Apes. At three, I have Predestination. At 2, I have this movie, The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. And at 1, I still have About Time.
Okay. I have at 5, Predestination. At 4, Time Cop. At 3, Planet of the Apes. At 2, this movie, The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. And at 1, still About Time.
Yeah, this movie and About Time, very similar, similar vibes going on. But the sort of like the questions I have about plot in this movie don't exist in About Time. About Time is a much tighter, not much, but it's a tighter explanation of everything. I don't find myself questioning, like, why did this happen or how did this happen? They sort of like wrapped everything up perfectly. And for me, that's why About Time is ahead of this one.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Same, like About Time has been one of my favorite movies, like just overall of all time, not just time travel. It's been one of my favorite movies for a while. And The Girl Who Leapt Through Time is creeping. It's creeping up.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know if it'll ever reach, you know, where About Time is for me.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, hey, everybody, if you'd like to support us here Talking Back, tell your friend about an episode, share one of your favorites, check us out on Patreon. There's bonus episodes over there. Check us out on YouTube. We have a channel called Demo Dash where we play video game demos. We try to beat them in 20 minutes. And now that this episode's over, don't worry. Head on over to bfopnetwork.com for a plethora of other amazing nostalgia-based podcasts. Once you go over there, you'll never come back to us. You'll be lost in joyous nostalgia. What will your ears never do, Dean?
Want again.
Your ears will never want again. Dean, thank you for joining.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Hello!
La, la, la.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Corey.
And we are the hosts of Cartwright, a Seinfeld podcast. We are breaking down every single episode of Seinfeld as we watch it, reliving this amazing show.
That's right. It's a trip down memory lane for all of us 90s kids out there. You can find Cartwright, a Seinfeld podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and Patreon.
La, la, la.